Things are happening in America today. It is a wake-up call for the church on many levels. We'll talk about that and more on Radical Islam.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'll tell you. It is one of those urgent hours. It is one of those critical times in American history. I'm not one of those who runs around all the time saying the sky is falling, the sky is falling. In fact, I'm full of faith, hope, optimism. If you listen to the show on a regular basis, you'll be encouraged and you'll be full of courage. Right now, it's one of those times where we need to sound the alarm. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire. So, This morning, the governor of Georgia caved in to pressure from big business, caved in to pressure from Hollywood, caved in to pressure from the NFL, and vetoed a religious freedoms bill that, among other things, would have protected pastors who were required to perform a same-sex marriage if that should arise, which would protect business people from having to violate their deeply felt convictions, biblically based convictions that have been part of our fabric of American life for centuries, would be forced to violate them, otherwise lose their business or be fined. Simple, common sense protections. He caved in. And the bill had already been significantly gutted. The bill was significantly weakened even when it got to him, and yet still, he vetoed it. Right now in North Carolina, Governor Pat McCrory is under tremendous pressure. The ACLU and others have launched a lawsuit against him and the General Assembly. There are threats from major companies like Apple and American Airlines. There are Hollywood elite leaders saying we will not work in North Carolina. The mayor of San Francisco has issued an edict that no publicly funded city employees are allowed to travel to North Carolina. Yeah, not the dictator of some communist country or the Ayatollah of some Iranian country, but the mayor of San Francisco. Unless it's, you know, maybe a relative Dodge you had to be, or otherwise you can't travel to North Carolina. Why? And the NBA is threatening to remove next year's All-Star Game, potentially remove next year's All-Star Game from Charlotte, North Carolina. Why? Because the governor and the assembly backed what the vast majority of the people of North Carolina feel, which is that biological males should not have access to a ladies' room, even if they identify as ladies. That biological males should not be able to shower in a public locker room next to biological females. And because of that, there is this vast uproar against the state of North Carolina, and the governor of Georgia already caved, and earlier this year, other governors caved, and last year, the governor of Indiana caved, although there's been pushback, some positive pushback there, because it's never enough, and gay activists kept pushing for more, for more, for more, for more. So we stand at a critical hour today. I want to inform you of the issues. I want to tell you the truth of what's really happening. I'm happy to take your calls, 866-348-7884. Later in today's broadcast, over the course of these next 2 hours, we are going to talk about issues concerning radical Islam, a horrific targeted attack targeting Christians in Pakistan on Easter at a children's park. Most of the casualties are children and women. And our State Department does not mention in their condemnation of this radical Islam or Christians or Easter. We'll be talking about that and a whole lot more. An urgent day today, but Jesus sits enthroned as Lord.
Yeah.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I do not think that we have to discriminate against anyone to protect the faith-based community in Georgia, of which I and my family have been a part of for all of our lives.
The governor of Georgia, with all respect, sir, as you vetoed a religious freedoms bill, a religious liberties protection bill, sir, did you have no foresight? Do you not see where things are going? Are you not aware of lawsuits against denominations and pastors who are refusing to perform same-sex, quote, weddings? Do you not know the ultimate goal of some gay activists that will not tolerate our refusal to comply without penalty? Sir, are you not aware of the name of Calvin Cochran? Calvin Cochran being the fire chief for the city of Atlanta, a man who served with distinction for decades in your city, a man against whom there was never a complaint to my knowledge that he discriminated against anyone, a fine Christian man who was fired by the mayor. Why? Because on his own time, he wrote a book for use by the men in his church on issues of purity and manhood, in which there were a couple of pages, while dealing with other sexual sins and other behaviors, dealt with homosexual practice in standard biblical terms. Nothing beyond that in terms of what was written, standard biblical terms. Then he shared it with the mayor. The mayor said, glad to be looking forward to reading it, shared it with some people on his job, was then put on disciplinary suspension, forced to go to classes on sensitivity training, and then after his suspension, was then fired. Mr. Governor, were you unaware of the uproar this created in the faith community in Atlanta? Were you unaware of the gathering of a number of the key leaders of the city standing together with Fire Chief Cochran? Are you not aware of how this is playing out nationally? Are you not aware, I'll ask again, of the lawsuits that have now been brought against the city of Atlanta? How can you pretend that this is not an issue? Are you not aware of the florists and the bakers and the photographers and others who have been punished for their religious convictions because they could not, in good conscience, participate in a same-sex, quote, wedding? Do you not care about this at all? What's clear to me is that the voice of big business, just as happened in Indiana, just as happened in other states, the voice of big business and sports and media is louder right now than the voice of doing what's right, than the voice of standing for truth, than the voice of standing for fairness and equality. Let's flip this around. In city after city across America and in state after state, without clear proof that there had been, say, a gay man or a lesbian woman fired from their job exclusively because someone found out about how they live in private or something like that, city after city, state after state, bills are passed to, quote, protect them when there hasn't been a demonstrable need for protection. And yet you have actually said, quote, I have examined the protections that this bill proposes to provide to the faith-based community, and I can find no examples of any of those circumstances occurring in our state. How can you possibly say that? Again, Calvin Cochran is known nationwide and created an uproar in your state. Look, the time has come, friends, for Christians around America clearly to say enough is enough. We will treat everyone with civility and kindness. We will reach out to everyone with love. We will love our neighbors ourselves. But we will not surrender the very freedoms and liberties on which this nation is based. If there's any freedom and liberty on which America is based, it is freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, freedom of speech. These are all deeply intertwined. This is a grievous day. I want to encourage every one of you to read and share my latest article. I do have some specific strategies to share in the coming days. We are working with other leaders, media leaders, Christian businessmen, people in politics, megachurch pastors, small church pastors. We are working with different leaders in the early stages across the board, across America, to call for a joint effort standing together against the activism and against the bullying, and encouraging governors and encouraging legislators. We have your back. We're going to vote for you, and there happen to be enough of us to help get you in office. And we are going to help build the businesses in your communities. And we are going to do everything in our power to stand with you and encourage you to do the right thing. And history will vindicate you. But right now, here's what I need. I need every single one of you to go to my website. Excuse me, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. I want to encourage you to read the article, my latest article, and when you Christians Must Unite Now Against Gay Bullies and Their Allies, it's on many different websites, but you can just get the link on askdrbrown.org. At the end of the article, there's a link to Governor McCrory. Send him a word of encouragement, even if you don't live in North Carolina. Send him a word of encouragement and thank him. It can be short. Thank you, Mr. Governor, for doing the right thing and standing for public safety and for religious freedom. You have to understand the outrageous nature of what's happening. There is a video, I mentioned it as a chilling video. I link it in the article. Watch it for yourselves. You have to realize the madness of what's being put in place. The mayor of Seattle has signed an executive order. The mayor of Seattle has signed an executive order that people can use the bathroom of their perceived gender regardless of who it hurts, regardless of who it inconveniences, regardless of who it embarrasses, regardless of who it endangers. You say, Mike Brown, what are you talking about endangers? Very simple. Watch the video that I linked in my article. Very, very simple, friends. Listen, there are heterosexual predators who have used these laws already. They've used them in the state of Washington and elsewhere to dress up as a woman and to go into a men's to go into a ladies' bathroom. Why? Because all they have to do is say, I identify as a woman. How are you going to stop them? Well, are you really transgender? Yes, I am. Well, that's it. They don't even have to dress like a woman. They can simply say, I identify as a woman, and walk into a ladies' room. Listen, this has happened. This is documented. Watch the video for evidence of people who've done this in different ways for years. Now this opens the door wide to them. Let's go a step further. You are out having dinner with your family, a small restaurant, but it's public. The public can use this place, right? Or let's say it's here, the library, the local library. You're there with your family, and you're introducing your little daughters to different things about studying and reading books, and because you can't go to the school library with them, you're introducing them in the public library there, and you go in there, and the bathroom is just right down the hallway, and there's the ladies' room, there's the men's room, and your daughter has to go. She's 8 years old, and her sister says, I'll go with her. Your sister's 10. And you say, okay, right there. You can actually see it. You just walk down, take your sister there to the bathroom, and they come out crying. There's a man in there. He's wearing a dress. Now, maybe he's genuinely confused about his gender identity. Maybe he's the most harmless person in the world, and he lives with constant terror and fear because of how people are going to look at him. I pity the guy. I pity him. But he has no right to traumatize these little girls because of his particular struggles. Look, and if it's based completely on perception, if this is simply a matter of perception, then what about the girl that the media is talking about? I wrote about last week, 12 years old in Australia, Annie, some days Annie is a girl, some days Annie is a boy, some days Annie is both. Does she switch bathrooms based on how she feels on a given day? And the school is supposed to just accept this and say, fine, we're enlightened? What about the Norwegian gal that's convinced she's a cat in a woman's body and seeks to present herself as a cat and identifies as a cat? Do we need litter boxes then? Look, I'm not making fun of people. Do we need litter boxes in public places for people like that? I'm simply saying they have a problem. My heart goes out to them. But you do not turn the world upside down because some people are having a problem. This is a wake-up call today. This is Michael Brown, serving as your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Listen, friends, there's a lot that has to be done. I believe that everyone in their own sphere of influence needs to take a stand. Everyone in their own sphere of influence needs to take a stand. Meaning, if you're a local business person, if you're a church pastor, if you're in the media, if you're in sports, that wherever you find yourself, you need to make a positive difference and speak out against this social madness. What I'm talking about is the extreme pressure coming against the governor of North Carolina and legislators there for doing the right thing and upholding public safety and common sense in our state. And the governor of Georgia caving in and vetoing a religious freedoms bill that was already somewhat gutted. As Ryan Anderson writes on the Daily Signal, Georgia's Republican governor Nathan Deal has caved to pressure from big business and special interests and vetoed a very modest religious liberty bill. This shows the lack of courage of many in the political class and also highlights the extreme nature of the left and the business community. To these groups, even mild religious protections are unacceptable. The economic threats made by big businesses to get the government to do their bidding at the expense of the common good are examples of a vicious form of cultural cronyism. Anderson says the Georgia religious freedom bill that Deal vetoed would have safeguarded clergy from having to officiate same-sex weddings, prevented faith-based organizations from being forced to hire someone who publicly undermines their mission, and prohibited the state government from discriminating against churches and their affiliated ministries because they believe marriage is between a man and a woman. Come on! How basic is that? Let's say, for example, you have a Christian school, all right? You have a Christian school. And in this Christian school, someone wants to be hired who is a gay activist who does not believe the Bible is God's word and believes that you are full of bigotry, and they want to work at your school. Well, obviously, you should be able to say, no, I'm not going to hire you. Just like if you had a Muslim school and someone who was an anti-Muslim wanted to be hired there, you wouldn't hire that person. Of course not. If you had an Orthodox Jewish school, you wouldn't get a Jewish atheist to come on and teach the children. Obviously not. This is extreme, friends. I've said it for years. I'm going to say it again. Those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. We go to the phone, starting in Charlotte, North Carolina, appropriately. Michael, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Hello, Michael.
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, please.
Oh, thank you. You know, the whole issue seemed to get clouded, you know, with the gay marriage issue in the beginning with civil rights and all that, and I see the same thing happening here. It's like, you know, when I go to buy insurance, they want to know if I'm male or female, and my rates change accordingly. And I don't get to tell them, you know, how I feel or what I may perceive. They're going to base it on the actual biological situation. And so somehow we're confusing, like, there are some things that need to be based on reality of the situation. And then obviously there's some things that if that's how you feel and you want to dress a certain way or go to a certain place or whatever, then obviously you have personal choices in that. But somehow we've lumped this into just another personal choice that you get to force on everybody else.
Yeah, it is, you're absolutely right. It is simply a matter of extremism. It is a matter of an attack on common sense and decency. It's a matter of perception becoming reality, and that's scary. That means anything goes.
I wouldn't be able to tell the insurance company that I perceive that I'm a female, so I want the lower rate. That would be ridiculous to them.
Yeah, now here's what's even more ridiculous, Michael, but great point, and of course you're right. Even in North Carolina, if someone has sex change surgery, from what I understand, they can then go back and have their birth certificate changed, which is kind of like time travel, you know? You're going to go back and undo. So everyone looking at that would think you were born a biological female because you had sex change, whereas that's not the reality. I mean, at least if we're going to have some kind of law like that, say born male, sex change to become female, even though you're not totally female, but it's social insanity. And when people make it into a civil rights issue, they are abusing and hijacking the civil rights movement. Hey, Michael, thank you for your common sense call. I appreciate it. We go to Huntingtown, Maryland. Casey, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
I'm just calling as a father of two daughters and a Christian. I believe we've reached a point of insanity where these people, they want to actually change definition to fit however they feel, regardless of belief. I believe the roles have literally reversed. If I may say, I think we're living in the end days. But I just don't understand how we can, a few people cry because they don't identify with biblical belief that everyone else should just cater to these people, regardless of the cost.
And Casey, it's not even just biblical beliefs we're talking about. We're talking about common sense. We're talking about that gender is not whatever you perceive it to be. That look, there are people who say there are ambigender, blurred gender, gender fuzz. You throw all the genders in a blender, you get gender blender. There are people who are multi-gender, they're bi-gender, and it goes on and on and on. These people need our compassion and our help. But to give the analogy I always use, if you got a kid in school who is blind, and you don't have a school for the blind in your city, so you do your best to accommodate that child and maybe even get a specific helper for that child, but you don't cause and require the whole school to close their eyes and use Braille when they read and to close their eyes when they walk through the hallway. Why? Because you recognize the child has a handicap, you have compassion and do what you can to help, but you don't now put that on the rest of the school. You say to me, Dr. Brown, your analogy doesn't work. Of course it works, because you're saying in this school that the six-year-old girl who identifies as a boy uses the boys' locker room and the boys are stuck with it. And the six-year-old boy who identifies as a girl uses the girls' locker room and the girls are stuck with it. And everyone has to call, he was Joe last week, but he's Jane this week. What if he wants to go back to Joe next week? Do you ask? I'm not demeaning the struggles, but this is madness. Casey, thank you for the call. Listen, friends, I am going to be staying on this. So phone number to call, 866-348-7884, 866-348-7884. Stand with us today. Would you take a moment and stand with us in prayer right now? Would you take a couple minutes today before the day is out and say, God, amplify this voice, amplify our voice together. Help Dr. Brown get this message out. Mike, we're standing with you. Would you go to God in prayer on our behalf? It's an urgent hour. I'm asking God to sharpen and amplify my voice. Standing as your voice, would you stand with me in prayer? And if the Lord lays it on your heart, help us financially to get this message out to the nation.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Ben Shapiro, writing on the Daily Wire, has and I was in touch with Ben about this today. As soon as I saw what he wrote, we're in sync, and others have written to me completely from kind of out of the blue, saying the very same things about needing to take a stand and come together now. But Ben Shapiro, writing on the Daily Wire, so he's a religious Jew, and he is a strong conservative. Religious Americans had better prepare for nonviolent resistance. He's not one of these sky is falling guys either, okay? He's not one of these sky is falling, it's all over guys. He is simply saying, sober up, this is what's coming. 866-34-TRUTH. Back to the phones, Ramon on Long Island. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you doing today?
Doing well, thank you.
God bless you. Well, I just want to ask you a question. Do they make those decisions based on what? Why don't they base those decisions, make those decisions based on and scientific research? Because if they do that, I mean, they check if those people have different hormones or different chemical composition of a regular person. They're going to find out it's not true. I mean, those people have the same hormones and chemical balance than a regular person does.
You're talking reason and reality and science here. That's the problem.
Okay.
Of course, you're exactly right. How do you quantify this? How do you test for it? Now, look, there are some people who are what would be called intersex. There are different categories of androgynous or hermaphrodite. There are people with ambiguous sexual organs. There are people born with dual genitalia, or there are people who have an unusual chromosomal imbalance. But Ramon, you're absolutely right. Those people represent a fraction of a fraction. And according to Professor Margaret Hagan, she's JD and PhD, professor of psychological and brain sciences at Boston University. I cite her in my article, so please read the article and share it with others. My latest article, Christians Must Unite Against Gay Bullies and Their Allies. She says this is unquantifiable. She says that you cannot quantify this scientifically or legally. So how are you going to base a law on something that you cannot quantify, that is based on perception? How are you going to have civil rights, say, for black Americans, if being black is based on what you perceive about your skin color? It's madness. How are you going to have laws protecting different ethnic groups against discriminations if it's based on your perception? All right? So I mean, it's almost frustrating to have to say this, and thank you, Ramon. You are absolutely right. You cannot base laws on this. Well, I identify as a woman. So, oh, okay, well, hang on. Do you have to have sex change surgery? Do you have to dress like a woman? I mean, how far do you go with this? So what if you dress like a woman but don't look like a woman? Is that enough to get in the ladies' bathroom? What if you are going to have sex? No, you can't even ask it. In New York, you can't ask it. $250,000 fine if you don't participate with transgender activist perceptions. $250,000 fine is the max potential fine. And you're not allowed to ask, well, have you actually had sex change surgery? Are you seeing a psychologist? Are you under hormonal treatment? As if that would be the big question. You can't even ask those questions. It's madness. It is social madness. And it takes away from helping the people with these struggles. Rather than helping them, we're normalizing it. Thank you.
Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, your voice of moral clarity and spiritual sanity, and moral sanity and spiritual clarity. In the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise, we go to Leon in Woburn, Massachusetts. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well, thanks.
I'm just trying to let people know what still goes on today, Dr. Brown. I am involved in a bitter custody battle with my kids. I took custody of my kids about a year and a half ago from a physically abusive mother, alcoholic mother. I've had custody with them. However, I was in court a week ago. I was told by the judge and the court clinician, I am brainwashing my children. They're looking to reverse the custody because I am teaching them the Bible. And I'm teaching them about God. I'm brainwashing them.
Wow.
And that's not allowed. I'm a bad influence.
How old are your kids?
7 and 9, Dr. Brown.
Oh, my. 7 and 9. And so this is their mother bringing this suit against you?
Yes. Well, actually, the case was referred to a court clinician and refused to look at the evidence, Dr. Brown. Everything's in black and white in front of him. For some reason, once he found out I was a Christian, it was not allowed from day one. I was the bad person for teaching them. I'm brainwashing my children.
Now, what has actually been put in writing to you about this?
Basically, I'm brainwashing my children, teaching them things that they should not be taught. The claims were made by the mother, and the doctor of the court seemed to went along with it, even though he has all the proof in front of him. Dr. Brown, he's overlooked the fact that their medical records, court records, you name it, police records of this history of abuse and alcohol.
Yeah.
He's overlooked all of that, but focused on my Christianity and being a bad parent for teaching my kids that.
Yeah, I mean, this is absolutely remarkable. Do you have a Christian attorney standing with you? Do you have a national organization standing with you on this?
I don't, Dr. Brown. I do have an attorney, but at this point I feel very helpless because I've called around every place and basically they told me, well, if you have an attorney, there's not much we can do for you. It makes me sick to my stomach that this...
I can't imagine. And listen, in fairness, because we've got a national listening audience, all I know is what you're telling me. In other words, I know nothing about the case beyond what you're telling me. So face value, believing what you're telling me, I'm responding in kind. Have you contacted the Alliance Defending Freedom?
No, I haven't, Dr. Brown.
All right. Let me give you a number. Are you ready?
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Here's the easiest thing. Okay, yeah, I've got a number. Ready?
Uh-huh.
It's 800.
Okay.
835.
Uh-huh.
5233.
Okay.
All right. You can also say that I referred you. Not everyone in their organization knows me, but their top people know me well. All right. Now, I don't know what their involvement is on custody cases and things like this, but this is obviously a religious liberties case on the most fundamental level, what's done in the home. I'm sure they've encountered this before. Their website is TellADF, TellADF.org.
Okay.
TellADF.org or .com. They have, across the country, top Christian attorneys who help with attack on religious liberty and freedom and fundamental rights. They do it gratis. This is what they do across the nation. There's several other organizations that help with this. But if you could do one other thing, obviously we're not going to make full names public or anything like this, but when we get off the air, I'm just going to ask... Our call screener to give you my assistant's email address. His name is Dylan. And
okay.
If you could just take any language from your actual case and send it to him and say, okay, this is what they have actually said about me in writing. That would be very helpful. We won't mention last names, anything like that. But let's just do this right now. Father, we pray for Leon. Lord, if everything is as he says, I pray for the protection of these children and the protection of this man to teach them the truths of the gospel. I pray for righteousness to prevail in the courts. I pray for the deliverance and salvation of the mother of these children. And I pray, Lord, that you would intervene and not let this go the way of social insanity, in Jesus' name. All right, Leon, stay right there. My call screener will get you Dylan's email address. And then, as soon as you have that, shoot him a note with the actual quote, not your paraphrase, the actual quotes. Thanks so much. All right, Betsy, thanks for helping us with that. 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, this is a time for outrage, is it not? This is a time for great concern. We go to Rebecca in Dunbar, West Virginia. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. Thank you for taking my call. I'm just concerned about a lot of the Christians, especially placed in leadership, whether it be in the Senate or whether it be in the church, that are selling out to the gay agenda and just completely ignoring their conscience and their faith and just selling out for this lie. You can't even comprehend this. And I'm just wondering, why are a lot of the Christians ignoring their faith, especially in our Lord Jesus Christ? That's not making a whole lot of sense to me.
It makes no sense, but I'll explain exactly why, all right? Let's say for 20 years, instead of eating healthily, I lived on donuts and milkshakes and Big Macs. And then I didn't exercise at all. And then it was time to run a marathon. I'm not even going to get out the door before I collapse, correct? So for years and years and years, many of these leaders have been bowing to political correctness. For years and years, many of them have been bowing to numbers and influence and prestige. In the political world, they've been bowing down to re-election. In the church world, they've been bowing down to making sure they get people's tithes and they have big numbers, as opposed to saying, we're going to do what's right. We're going to do what's right. If someone elected us to stand for what's right, we're not going to cave in once we're elected. If I'm the pastor of a congregation, I have to give account to God for the health of the flock. No, for years, we have been sowing compromise. For years, we have been sowing a man-pleasing spirit. And now, when the rubber meets the road, now when the fight comes to our door, we have no fight in us. That's why we've been sounding the alarm about the compromised gospel message in America for decades. That's why we've been sounding the alarm about aggressive gay activism for over a decade. These things go hand in hand. That's why there must be awakening beginning with God's people. Those on the gay activist side sincerely believe they're doing what's right. They sincerely believe that religion is dangerous and these, in their views, primitive beliefs are hurting people and that they are the liberated, enlightened ones. Of course, nothing could be further from the truth in terms of their agenda and their aggressiveness. But we've been warning for years, those who came out of the closet want to put us in the closet. And when people have mocked me and, no, it's never going to happen, in the meantime, they just went in the closet, surrendered themselves. It's shameful, it's inexcusable, but it's sadly the reality we're dealing with today. An urgent wake-up time in America. Rebecca, everyone whom you've seen cave in, I encourage you to pray for them in secret, that God would give them a spirit of repentance, that they would fear God more than they fear man, that they would bow down to God and what's right rather than bowing down to people and polls. And if they do that, God can restore and bless. The hope that I have, Rebecca, is that gay activists will overplay their hands, that they will continue to move the goalposts until even the compromised and fearful have no choice but to stand up for what's right. But there's no excuse. There is zero excuse. And if a governor says, hey, but look, I've got to be concerned with all the people and jobs, and if the NFL doesn't come to Atlanta for the Super Bowl, man, that's going to cost us a ton of money. And then if Hollywood pulls out from filming here, it's going to cost us this and that. There has to be a resolve to say, I'm going to do what's right and in keeping with the foundational principles of our nation. And in doing so, it will ultimately be in the best interest of our state. That's why we need to really stand with Governor McCrory and the North Carolina legislation. Legislators, they are under extreme pressure right now, but we're praying and standing with them that they would stand tall in this hour. All right, we'll be right back with more of your calls on the other side of the break.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. We go to Sudbury, Massachusetts. Francis, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, yes. Hi, good afternoon. I wanted to share the story of a Christian politician in England who helped passed the law of abolition of slavery.
Yes, William Wilberforce. Yes, please.
Yes, and one of the reasons I'm bringing that that story is because for years he fought against slavery, but he was not successful until he developed a strategy that was not directly against slavery. I don't know if you remember watching the movie. He was given a strategy where he tricked the parliament into passing a law that helped later pass the law of against slavery. So I was wondering, that also could be a strategy in our politics. We don't actually think of strategies that are completely against homosexuality and, you know, establishing what is female or male, that we think of innovative strategies to deal with this issue, because there's such a huge resistance in our country against this right now, that we cannot go in full force against it. We have to go behind it. And
yeah,
I think one of the ways that could be do is to ask scientists to determine what is male and female.
Yeah, let me just say this, Francis. Yeah, those voices are largely silenced. In other words, there are major voices like Dr. Paul McHugh, who used to head up the psychiatric department or psychological department at Johns Hopkins University, widely respected nationally. There are others who are raising their voices, and we do our best to get this out. When it comes to the transgender issue, we really do have to hit on the public safety issue. We have to talk about safety of women and children in bathrooms. We have to talk about the traumatizing of the larger part of the population to cater to a tiny percentage who have a genuine issue that we're trying to help. And yes, bring in all the evidence that we can. When it comes to, quote, gay and lesbian rights, obviously this has been posed as the new civil rights movement, gay as the new black. So we have to do everything we can to expose that. And because we care about everyone and we don't want to be unfair towards any person, they have stolen the day with, hey, we've been bullied and it's all about our rights. Unfortunately, the narrative has changed so dramatically that it's Christians who are getting bullied, that it's our rights that are being stolen and trampled and mocked, because of which we can now begin to point to that and expose that. It is part of the strategy, but look, here's the other issue. The secular media is so overwhelmingly against us on this that it makes it more challenging to get the message out. But you're right, Wilberforce is a great example. He persevered for years and years and years, and his great appeal was ultimately the humanity of the slave. Am I not your brother? Am I not a fellow human being? Here I am in chains. Well, nobody's chaining gays and lesbians. No one's telling gays and lesbians you can't work jobs. Come on, the CEO of Apple is Tim Cook. Come on, one of the most popular media figures in the world is Ellen DeGeneres. Come on, you know, the White House is lit up in gay colors. No one's putting gays and lesbians in chains. But Christians, metaphorically, are being put in chains when they cannot hold to their beliefs in the public square without being ridiculed by activists and threatened by bullies. Thank you for the call. I agree with you. 866-34-TRUTH, Huntersville, North Carolina. Jeff, welcome to the Line of Fire.
How are you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm appalled with this. I can't believe it's taking place, especially being a black male and coming through the civil rights movement. And they base all of their problems comparing it to our struggle. And I want to know, as a Christian, what are the pastors going to do when we are being intimidated by Hollywood and its media, and now the sports arena, and all manner of things? What do we do?
Yes,
do we
sir.
We boycott them?
Well, here's what we must do, Jeff. And first, of course, what a hijacking of the civil rights movement. Yes, gays and lesbians have suffered at times in American history, no question about it, and some suffer to this day. But how many died in Middle Passage coming across as slaves from Africa to the United States? And how many were sold in chains and owned by other people? And how many were not allowed to use a public bathroom or stay at a hotel or eat at a restaurant because of the identifiable traits they had? Come on, Jeff, you never had to come out as black. You've been black since the day you're born. Someone has to come out as gay or lesbian and identify as that. It's a hijacking of a movement that paid a great price to get where it got, and that has a terrible history of bloodshed and suffering behind it. What we need to do, Jeff, is encourage every pastor in every church, wherever a congregation, pastor, please stand strong. Pastor, don't bow down. As someone who lives in North Carolina, take a moment to contact Governor McCrory. It's super easy. Just go online, say, contact Governor McCrory. You'll see a website, and you could just send him a note. Take a minute. Thank you, Governor, for doing what's right. I'm a Christian and standing with you. We are looking. There's an organization putting a letter together from pastors and leaders that we want at least 1,000 pastors across the state to tell the state leaders we're standing with you. There'll be attorneys, Christian attorneys standing with us. And we need a strategy, not just a boycott. Although, let me say this, Jeff, and I'm gonna write about this probably in the next 24 to 48 hours. What if NFL players, Christian NFL players and conservative NFL players said to the NFL, we're going to boycott the NFL this next year if you don't stop making us tools in a political agenda. Stay out of the culture wars. Don't light up the Super Bowl with gay colors if that's actually what happened, as many believe it was. Don't put us under pressure to welcome a gay athlete in our locker room who may be checking us out when we're showering. Don't call us homophobes if we have a problem with that. Leave us out of the culture wars. The NFL would have no choice but to back down instantly. And that's something that could be done. So Jeff, I share your indignation. We pray for a heart to reach out to those who identify as LGBT. We stand up for what's right and for our freedoms and for public safety in the restrooms. Come on, is there anything more common sense than that? And we write to the governor immediately. Everyone can do that. Take a minute. Thank you, Governor McCrory, for doing the right thing. We're standing with you as Christians or as people of conscience in this city. And if enough stand with, that positive voice with, will overcome the bully's threats. And unless we think that Bank of America and Wells Fargo and American Airlines and others are going to pull out of Charlotte, unless we think that's the case, they have all the laws in place in their own place of business. They do whatever they want. They have all types of LGBT laws in place in their own business. Fine, it's their choice. It's their choice. No one's stopping them. But don't put it on the rest of the community. Thank you, sir, for the call. And then we get on our knees and on our faces and say, God, start the work with me. My bottom line today, it is time for awakening in America, beginning with you and me. The awakening can't wait. Things are happening in America today. It is a wake-up call for the church on many levels. We'll talk about that and more on Radical Islam.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
My two girls were in the park, she says. They were both killed. We found one body. The other is still missing.
Oh, I don't know how those words hit you. I know how they hit me. Oh, boy. From Pakistan. From Pakistan. If somehow you didn't hear about this, if somehow this news didn't get to you, a terrible tragedy in Pakistan yesterday. According to reports, Taliban suicide bomber, radical Islamic suicide bomber, blew himself up in Lahore, Pakistan. Oh, it gets worse. Yeah, intentionally on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. He blew himself up in a park. It gets worse. He blew himself up in a children's park. A park where kids come and play on the swings. It was especially filled because of Easter Sunday and many of the people there being Christian, even though they're a tiny minority in Pakistan. And most of the victims, yesterday when the story came out, they said at least 50 dead. I think it's over 100 now. They initially said over 100 wounded. I think it's over 400, many critically. I mean, you're talking about bodies torn apart. Most of the casualties are women and children. Our State Department would not mention the targeting of Christians, even though that's what the Taliban said in taking responsibility. They would not offer... they would not specify radical Islam. They didn't mention Easter. And when I posted this on Facebook, I had Pakistani Muslims writing to me. Pakistani Muslims writing to me saying, this is not Islam. This has nothing to do with Islam. We have a great relationship with the Christians in Pakistan. They're our friends. They pray in their churches freely. There's no persecution against them. And another saying, actually, these are not real Muslims. They are fake Muslim groups created by the Jews. Yeah, this is some of what I dealt with online. I actually tried to reach out. I tried to reach out to some of these people to see if there was any semblance of sanity, any willingness to interact or anything whatsoever. And unfortunately, what I got was social madness. We're going to talk with someone in a moment that grew up as a child in Pakistan. And yeah, latest figures, well, now I'm seeing 70 dead. I saw 100 earlier, but only God knows the exact number. The level of suffering there, families ripped apart, lives that will be scarred for decades. Terrible, terrible tragedy. And the odd thing is that we all heard about what happened in Brussels immediately. Another absolutely horrific, murderous attack, two of them, different locations. And we heard about that instantly. Was it because there was cell phone footage? Was there no cell phone footage from Pakistan? I don't know, but oddly, maybe a very different nation, people of different color, maybe because Christians were targeted somehow. We didn't hear about it here. It took a while. God have mercy. Oh, there's a whole lot I want to talk to you about today on The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We went to a canteen to have something to eat when there was suddenly a big blast. Everyone panicked, running in all directions. Many of them were blocked at the gate of the park. Dead bodies could be found everywhere.
Yeah, again, just tragic news from Pakistan. And look, come on. Unless you have been a victim of terror like this, or had some horrific incident in war or some calamity that you live with where your family was suddenly unexpectedly stripped away from you in a senseless act, you can't really, I mean, I can't relate. I try to put yourself in the people's shoes, but how can you? Again, the work of radical Islam. I'm joined by a guest now who is a cybersecurity specialist. And in short, we wanted to join us today to talk about Christians in Pakistan. I spoke with a professor, a Pakistani professor, a scholar, who is now a professor at a university here in the States. His wife was doing research on the fate of Christians in Pakistan and was writing a book that basically got her run out of the country, or doing research that got her run out of the country, revealing the plight of Christians in Pakistan, the level of suffering, the level of inequality. Now, you probably have areas, maybe more affluent areas, and in those more affluent areas, maybe more nominal Muslims, and maybe more nominal Christians, and maybe they all get along together, okay? Maybe that is the case. However, throughout the country, that is not the case. That is absolutely not the case throughout the country, and there is terrible suffering taking place, terrible hardship, terrible inequality. So we'll go to a friend here. We will not mention your name except to say that with the military, you've been a cybersecurity specialist. Sir, welcome to The Line of Fire. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. And I can also add from the military, I was an interpreter, a cultural analyst, so I know those areas quite well, not only just from growing up and traveling back and forth there, but I also studied Islam quite in depth, especially the type of Islam around those areas.
Where did you grow up?
So till I was 9 years old, I was in Pakistan. And then I came to the state. My father came to the States first, but we went and traveled back about once a year until I was around 16.
Got it.
And actually, if you don't mind me commenting real quick with what you just said, Dr. Brown, you know, you did mention about what nominal, you're saying about these upper class areas, about where it's more westernized. You might think that there would be more tolerance or cooperation with the Christians, but unfortunately, that's not the case. I don't know if you know about Salman Taseer. Years back, there was a lady named Asif Bibi, who was a Christian woman who was arrested in Pakistan and has been sentenced to death for blaspheming Muhammad.
Yep.
The evidence in this case is very weak. This woman was beaten horribly. Her family's in hiding.
Yep.
Salman Taseer was a governor of the Punjab province of Pakistan at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And he was assassinated by his own bodyguard for trying to defend this woman. He was a Muslim trying to defend a Christian. He was assassinated.
Yep.
His assassin, the next day, when they brought him into town in the jail, educated lawyers in Pakistan threw rose petals in the streets for this assassin. This assassin has millions and millions of that's an exaggerated number, sorry. Hundreds of lawyers jumping to defend him. This is a I wish I could say at times that it was just that some of the stuff happens because these extremists are just the uneducated ones, but unfortunately it's not. And you know, I mean, I can honestly say at times my own parents have been hostile to Christians. They were not happy at me converting.
Yeah, and of course, that's living here in America in a totally different environment. Look, I saw this announcement yesterday or day before that a Muslim in, where was it, in Scotland, posted a note on social media just loving the country and loving the Christians and celebrating Easter with his Christian friends as a Muslim, you know, honoring Jesus as a Muslim and so on. And then we get word he was beaten to death. And the first report I read gave the suggestion that, look at the Christian greeting that he got. And I thought, who says this was Christian? Well, sure enough, the Muslim arrested for it. Because how could a Muslim living in Scotland, and he fled to the country to get away from persecution, how could he post something about this wonderful Christian country and this wonderful Christian holiday, and they beat him to death, a Muslim beat him to death? But this is the kind of thing that you see. If someone dares stand up for Christianity or being Christian, they could die for it in a country like Pakistan.
Of course, sir. And unfortunately, it's actually bled over into parts of India where there are some provinces of India that are predominantly Muslim, where this also occurs. And as a lot of this stuff, as a lot of the groups coming from Afghanistan, the Pashtun regions over there, the more extremists that are influenced by groups like Tehrik-e-Taliban, Pakistan, or the Afghan Taliban, we unfortunately see this more and more as their influence rises. I mean, and part of the ideology for Tehrik-e-Taliban, Pakistan, and even the Hanafi school of Islam in general, is to spread the faith. Unlike Christianity, though, where we spread the teachings of Jesus through our Great Commission, the sword is authorized in Islam to spread their beliefs.
All right. What about the charge from some of these Muslims with whom I interacted? That no, this is not Islam. The Taliban, these other groups are not Islam. Obviously, I know how I would answer them and how I did answer them. But how do you respond to people who probably in their world, I imagine the ladies and some of the others who were posting there in protest on Facebook know very little about Islam. I wonder if they've read the Quran. I wonder if their husbands pray five times a day. In other words, how religious are they really? But in their worldview, no, this is not Islam whatsoever, has no relationship to Islam. How do you answer that on a factual, historical level?
I can actually answer that on the historical level. Yes, it is Islam. I mean, all you have to do is look at Islamic history. And not to say that Christian history is perfect. I mean, we obviously know that there have been times we've fallen away from the teachings of Christ, but that's the thing. We fell away from the teachings of Christ. In Islam, I mean, from the beginning, from Muhammad, from the beginning, using the sword, how he annihilated tribes of Jews, the Qureshis, and it's from the very beginning, Islam has been a religion of the sword. Now, I would also say to these people, yes, that have you actually read the Quran? Now, I have no doubt that if they say my husband prays five someday, I actually have no doubt about that. You know, most people, I also know Christians who love to pray before every meal and love to go to church, that you see how they live in their personal lives and how often they read their Bible. So I actually don't doubt you if you say, oh, I know the words. But most Muslims do not even know how to say their prayers. I mean, and like I'll give you one example. In the daily prayers of Muslims, they say in Arabic that keep us from becoming like those who have earned your hatred and like those who have fallen away. Now, if you actually go back to the Quran and the Hadith, that's actually a direct reference. Those who have earned your hatred are the Jews, and those who have fallen away are the Christians. And Muslims pray that every day, and yet most people don't know that.
Let me ask one last thing. Tell you what, stay with me if you can. I want to just talk about the origins of groups like Taliban or Al-Qaeda and what you can tell us about the security end of things. I'll play a clip from John Kerry as well. But just to report this, it was sent to me, U.S. Capitol on lockdown after reports of shots fired. Gunshots were reported fired this afternoon at the U.S. Capitol's visitor center. Employees are being told to shelter in place, according to sources. People outside were being told to seek cover. I don't see anything beyond that. Just wanted to report that news. Have no idea what it's related to or anything beyond what I just shared with you. But we pray for God's order in the midst of it. All right, so we come back. I want to speak with someone who's a cybersecurity specialist who has served as an interpreter, who grew up in Pakistan as a child up until the age 9 and then came to the States. So, and grew up in a Muslim household on top of that. A bunch more, but we'll stay with our guest for another few minutes.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, looks like the shooter is now in custody. That's the latest report in D.C. Don't know anything beyond that. All right, a couple more questions for my guest. Raised in Pakistan as a child, worked extensively now with the military on Islamic-related issues. How have you served as a translator? What language or an interpreter? What language or languages?
Urdu and Pashto. So the language of Pakistan and Afghanistan.
Got it. All right. So can you just briefly sketch for us the origins of the Taliban and Al Qaeda?
Yes, sir. That's actually two different questions. Al Qaeda.
Yes, exactly.
Al Qaeda has a far back origin, going back to Salafi Islam, and that would be a little bit of a history lesson. And I unfortunately couldn't do that in probably the time we have for this, but I could give you a brief history of the Taliban. In 1991, Taliban originated as a group to eject the Soviets out of that region that's between Pakistan and Afghanistan. The border of Pakistan and Afghanistan, that border is currently known as the Durand Line. Now, the Taliban, if you actually ask people, the Taliban, about what their origins are, they will actually tell you that they were started by Mullah Umar. Do you guys mm-hmm. know, do you know who Mullah Umar is?
Yeah, I mean, isn't he the one-eyed guy that we often see pictures of over the years?
That is correct. Right. So Mullah Umar, the story is, he saved, there were two girls who were kidnapped and held hostages by the Soviets who were about to be victimized sexually. And Mullah Omar and 30 fighters went over there and freed these girls. And after that, they helped to burn down all the poppy fields and everything, Their version of the story is very noble and honorable, but I don't believe a single word of it.
Mm.
The Taliban, I believe, they originated in 1991 to more or less eject the Soviets and get rid of a lot of the farming around that area. Now, the Taliban are mostly part of a group called the Pashtuns. The Pashtuns are tribal people in Afghanistan, are tribal people of Afghanistan and Pakistan, mostly Western Pakistan, Eastern Afghanistan, and when the Taliban started growing, they started recruiting more and more people from these Pashtun tribes. The Pashtuns, it's an interesting culture. They're a very culturally diverse group. They're a culturally diverse group of people who live by an honor code known as Pashtun Wali. And this code is what gets a lot of people to join groups like the Taliban. Unlike Al-Qaeda, where for lack of a better term, you and I could have a pretty not-so-difficult time joining, groups like the Taliban, you and I would actually have a far more difficult time joining because of the fact that you and I are not Pashtun. We would actually have to learn their language and go through their rituals in order to join. It's an interesting dynamic, but the main difference I'll point out, Al Qaeda and the Taliban are from two completely different schools of Islam. Now, the school of Islam that Al Qaeda comes from, the Salafi or the Wahhabi group, however you want to refer to it, is far more dangerous. They're far more aggressive, I would say. Their belief, if you were to ask in a Muslim, how are we to spread Islam? Because the Hadith say three ways. You are to spread Islam by the mouth, by the hand, or by the sword. They would actually go, people would tell you things differently. Some would say, if you ask the Taliban, they would say you first start with the mouth, then you go to the hand, then you go to the sword. You tell Al-Qaeda, they'll tell you the exact same thing backwards. And not only that, but they'll also, if you also ask these groups, how are we to defend Islam? One would say, well, if you ask Al-Qaeda, they'll say we first defend Islam with our hands, then with our mouths, then with our mind. If you ask the Taliban at times, they would say with our minds first, then with our mouths, then with our hands. So Al-Qaeda is far more aggressive, far more sinister, I would say. And that's probably the best way to describe it, sir.
What would you say? And thank you. Thank you for being concise when I know you've got so much more detail to fill in. But even that breakdown, very, very helpful. The Pope yesterday said that we must use weapons of love to combat the evil of blind and brutal violence, referring at that point to the attacks in Brussels and elsewhere, and probably before the the attack in Pakistan. But in any case, what do you think about that? Obviously, we overcome evil with good in personal conduct and interaction, but are we going to defeat Islamic terrorism with weapons of love?
Honestly, sir, I would like to ask the Pope, what's his definition of weapons of love? We can defeat Islamic terrorism out of love for fellow Christian, out of love for many things. But I would honestly sum it up to say I don't think a such thing as a weapon of love truly exists.
Yeah. Now look, it exists on an interpersonal level, where if someone hates you, you love them and you pray for them. You know, you have a relative who's estranged. You do good to them. You reach out to them. You pray for them. Those are weapons of love. But when it comes to a military enemy, you fight a military enemy with military weapons. And I wonder, is the Pope's security armed with weapons of love? All right, one more thing. We've just got a couple minutes. Jerry, grab clip number 9. This is Secretary of State John Kerry speaking with Vladimir Duthiers on CBS.
There's growing evidence that ISIS has a wide network of cells throughout Europe. So how can you say that we're winning the fight against ISIS if they've been able to strike Western Europe in the last 4 months?
Because we are winning. The fact that you can strike by sending a couple of would-be suicidal people into an airport to blow up a bomb does not indicate that they're winning. It means they have just struck a horrible blow and been willing to take lives with them. But as they disappear, either by blowing themselves up or by us killing them in various places of the world where we are taking them on, they're going to disappear.
What do you think of what Secretary of State Kerry had to say?
Honestly, I would say that's very optimistic. It's almost like, I guess if that was the solution for anything, then what about domestic terrorist groups like the KKK or other very violent gangs? And you know, that strategy doesn't work. I'll just say that strategy doesn't work when you have a group that is so well spread out, just a strike, and you're going to say just a couple of strikes is all it takes. No, these groups are meeting together. They are planning. It's situations like this that seem to always that really does make me concerned for the security of our
world. Major strategic changes. Hey, first, thank you for joining us. But look, in short, there must be a massive military solution. But along with that, this is an ideology we're dealing with in radical Islam worldwide. It's got to be uprooted in many ways.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have had a very intense 90 minutes of radio, and now our last 30 minutes together. We spent the first hour talking about the governor of Atlanta caving in to pressure from big business, the NFL, and Hollywood, caving in and capitulating and vetoing a very bare-bones Religious Freedom Act. We talked about, thus far, Governor McCrory and the legislature in North Carolina standing strong, although the ACLU has launched a case against them, a lawsuit against them, although American Airlines and Apple and other companies are threatening them, although Hollywood elites are calling for a boycott of the state, although the NBA has suggested they might pull the All-Star game from Charlotte, North Carolina. Why? Because a common sense bill was passed by the state legislature saying that men who are biological males can't use the ladies' room, or you go to the local gym, that a biological male cannot shower in the stall next to your girl. All the outrage over this and protecting the rights of Christians to not be forced to act in ways contrary to their faith. Well, it is a great call, need for Wake Up in America. The last half hour, I spoke with a gentleman who was raised in Pakistan as a child, who is an interpreter for Afghanistan and Pakistan issues, and is an expert in security and Islamic issues, and gave us insight further into radical Islam and to the state of Christianity, the suffering of Christians in Pakistan and countries like that, after the horrific terrorist attack yesterday targeting Christian women and children in a children's park on Easter Sunday. Talk about the height of viciousness, the height of being of your father, the devil. There it is. There it is. And that is the spirit of radical Islam. We are switching subjects now. This is Michael Brown, the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. And I just want to speak to you with total candor. All right? I want to speak to you with total candor, if I may. I posted something on Facebook a few days ago thinking this would be a no-brainer, thinking nobody is going to argue about this. What was the point? The point was this. The allegations that Senator Ted Cruz was in a sex scandal with at least five different ladies. Now, two of them already said, come on, complete nonsense. And others have said there is zero credibility to the story. All right? And that'll all be fleshed out, I'm sure. The truth will come out fully. And then Donald Trump retaliated in certain ways with very, very ugly junk on his end. This goes back to something earlier in the week. And according to Senator Cruz, Donald Trump was involved with the National Enquirer putting out this, in his words, garbage about him. So I posted this, think it'd be a no-brainer. If Senator Cruz is guilty of sex scandals, then he has to step down immediately. And if Donald Trump is guilty, conversely, of sending out false information to National Enquirer about alleged sex scandals, then he needs to step down. To me, it's a no-brainer. Yeah? That's how it seemed to me, a no-brainer. Obviously, if you have a man running as a conservative Christian saying, trust me, and look at my ethical record, look at my conservative values, and starting his campaign at Liberty University, if he was guilty, I don't mean 20 years ago when he was, you know, or maybe as a teenager did some foolish things, but as a married man and as a political official, was guilty of serial adultery, of course he needs to step down from his presidential campaign. Be a no-brainer to me. Or if conversely, if it's all false, which I believe to be the case, but it's all false, and if Donald Trump stoops so low as to leak a false story to the National Enquirer to try to hurt Ted Cruz, then he has to step down. I'll tell you what shocked me in the response when we come back.
God of light, hear our cry. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So, Alice, I've got to get you to clarify something. On this show yesterday, the Trump campaign, an advisor to the Donald Trump campaign, said yesterday that regarding this ridiculous feud involving the spouses of Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Regarding all of this, the Trump advisor said that it is Ted Cruz who needs to apologize because it is Ted Cruz who needs to step up and get the super PAC who was behind this to stand down. Will you or have you told this super PAC to stand down?
Well, first of all, I hate to inform Donald Trump, we're not in a version of his reality TV show. We are running for President of the United States, and his action and his behavior is conduct unbecoming of someone who's running for president. This ad that was put out there was by someone we have absolutely nothing to do with. She does not do anything with us. We have plenty of super PACs. She is not one of them, and she is an anti-Trump PAC from what we understand.
Yeah, so that was Alice Stewart on CNN, communications director for the Ted Cruz campaign. And she was saying we had nothing to do with the ad, with the revealing picture of Melania Trump from, what was it, a British GQ magazine from some nude photo shoot she did, which, by the way, Donald Trump is proud of. I just listened to a recent interview he's proud of. It's a little provocative, but no big deal. I mean, just think. If I don't want to mention names, but just past presidents, current president, presidential candidates, if their wife had participated in a nude photo shoot, let's say it was years ago, okay, embarrassing, a terrible thing, everyone has remorse over it, but no, it's, hey, no big deal. Hey, yeah, it's nice. It's very nice. She's beautiful. Yeah. Could you imagine that? Could you imagine that? Okay, here's what grieved me. Here's what grieved me the most. I post it on Facebook. If Senator Cruz is guilty of serial adultery and a sex scandal as reported by the National Enquirer, he has to step down. If conversely, the story is totally false, which from everything I understand it is, but let all the facts come out. If the story is totally false, and this is just an if, what Ted Cruz is saying is right, and Donald Trump is involved with the story getting to the National Enquirer. After all, the National Enquirer enthusiastically endorsed Donald Trump. And the head of the National Enquirer, David Pecker, is a close personal friend of Donald Trump. And Michael Savage just said, look, I've supported Trump, but unless he renounces David Pecker, I'm going to withdraw my support from him. That's how serious it is to Savage. And the only source quoted in the National Enquirer, Roger Stone, is a longtime confidant of Donald Trump and major guy in his work. So if Donald Trump was guilty of in any way participating in the National Enquirer rumor, then he has to step down. What shocked me was people on both sides saying, why would they have to step down? So what's so big about a sex scandal? Yeah, so what if he put out wrong information? It's politics. That's shocking. That is shocking, especially if the people posting say that they're Christians. I mean, I'm beyond the point of exasperation, friends. I'm at the point of on my knees more crying out for awakening. I was saying to Nancy, this whole political season has absolutely opened my eyes to the reality of how messed up things are in the church today. Now look, I love truth. It is personally frustrating for me to not be able to respond to everybody on social media that posts something that's false, okay? I would love to be able to because I love truth. Many times I don't see the comments. You know, the vast majority I don't see. And then there are others, it's just I can't do it because of time. And others, it's just not appropriate for me to enter in everywhere. But let's just go over some facts here, all right? Joey, grab clips number 3 and 4. Tucker Carlson is talking to Mike Huckabee, respected Christian former governor Mike Huckabee. This is Fox and Friends, March 26th. Tucker Carlson interacting with Mike Huckabee about the current feud between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz. Number 3.
I want to take you to the presidential race, which you just left, you know, of course, everybody involved. The Trump versus Cruz controversy, each one saying your wife's unattractive, mine's better looking, and then the allegations by the National Enquirer against Ted Cruz, hitting him on his personal life. I don't even want to repeat it, but pretty tough accusations, unproven at this point. For our viewers trying to pick a side here, who's right, who's got the more virtuous position, what's your view?
Time out, Tucker. You started with complete falsehood. This is maddening. Joey, stay with clip number three. I'm going to jump in on this. But just start it again and listen to what's said.
I want to take you to the presidential race, which you just left, you know, of course, everybody involved. The Trump versus Cruz controversy, each one saying your wife's unattractive, mine's better looking.
And okay, stop. Each one was not saying your wife's unattractive, my wife's better looking. Each one was not saying that. When the anti-Trump super PAC put out the picture, the virtually naked picture of Melania Trump, and said to the people of Utah, is this who you want as the first lady? All right? Completely unrelated to Ted Cruz. There is no connection. Whatever. Listen, Donald Trump says he knows that Cruz knew about it. I just listened to a recent interview. He know it's bogus. It is 100% unrelated to Ted Cruz. When Cruz found out about it, he said it's inappropriate. He said it's deplorable. And then after Donald Trump attacked Heidi twice, he said, your wife Melania is lovely. So Tucker Carlson gets it 100% false. I don't care right now if you're Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, Ted Cruz supporter. That's all immaterial to me. I just care about truth. Now let's listen to how Governor Huckabee responds, clip number four.
As somebody who's been in the arena as a candidate, as an office holder for 25 years or more, the single most disgusting thing that you ever deal with is when your families get unfairly brought into a campaign. They're not on the ballot. There's no reason to attack them in whatever way. And whether it's done by surrogates that candidates can say, oh, I had nothing to do with it, or whether it's done by the candidates themselves, this is simply something that ought to be off limits. And I would suggest that Cruz and Trump have a phone call, kind of like, Vito Corleone sitting down with Philip D'Italia and saying, there's got to be a truce. Because this goes nowhere. That helps anybody, and it's really, really
All right. So listen, let's, at the risk of being redundant, I'm going to jump in again this time. At the risk of being redundant, Mike Huckabee speaks falsely here as well. So let us replay clip number four. I'm going to jump in again. Go ahead.
As somebody who's been in the arena as a candidate, as an office holder for 25 years or more, The single most disgusting thing that you ever deal with is when your families get unfairly brought into a campaign. They're not on the ballot. There's no reason to attack them in whatever way. And whether it's done by surrogates that candidates can say, oh, I had nothing to do with it, or whether it's done by the candidates themselves, this is simply something.
Okay, stop. It's not surrogates. And Mike Huckabee blatantly blamed Ted Cruz for something he did not do. An anti-Trump super PAC is not a surrogate. The same anti-Trump super PAC, from what I know, went after Ted Cruz in another state. Listen, if a Muslim in Charlotte makes an outrageous statement and someone comes to me and says, Dr. Brown, as a Christian leader, will you repudiate that? Yeah, I repudiate it, but I'm not a Muslim. Why are you coming to me? Go to a fellow Muslim. I got nothing to do with it. Dr. Brown, this person said that, yeah, but I'm not a Muslim. I'm not that person. I've got no relationship to them. But look, it is falsehood over and over and over and over and over. You want to hear it again? Clip number eight, Geraldo Rivera. Eric Bolling is interviewing him. And look, people are hearing this, whether it's CNN, whether it's Fox. This is, and by the way, Mike Huckabee, I didn't have that quote, but I have him explicitly blaming Senator Cruz for something he did not do. I watched it with Nancy. We watched it together. And I said, Governor Huckabee, why did you just do that? I tweeted out immediately to him. Why did you say that? All right. Do I have time for Geraldo? No, I'm going to wait. We come back. Yeah, I do have time. Let's play it right now. Clip number eight, Geraldo on Fox News.
Well, I think, first of all, I have to mention that Senator Ted Cruz is a raving hypocrite for not mentioning the fact that it was his super PAC who ran the Melania nude picture on the eve of the Utah, the Mormon heavy Utah caucuses. So I think that Cruz starts it.
Geraldo, it's an anti-Trump super PAC. It wasn't a Ted
Cruz. Listen, Geraldo completely lied. He called Ted Cruz a raving hypocrite and blamed him for something he had nothing to do with. This is Geraldo Rivera. This is Fox News. Mike Huckabee, CNN. It's madness. It's madness. Oh, the plot's thickens. Stay with me.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, look, I never saw The Godfather, but Mike Huckabee did say I might recommend that Cruz and Trump have a telephone talk type of kind of like Vito Corleone sitting down with Philip Tattaglia and saying there's got to be a truce. Anyway, okay. So can I rehearse a few things with you for the sake of truth, regardless of who you're voting for, who your candidate is or isn't? All right. Well, Ted Cruz lied in Iowa. Ted Cruz didn't lie in Iowa. Here's what happened. During, as the caucuses were taking place in Iowa, CNN misleadingly reported things, giving the impression that Ben Carson could be dropping out. Certainly he was taking a break from his campaign. Someone on Cruz's staff, completely unbeknownst to Cruz, then sent that info out via email saying, Carson is taking a break in his campaign. Let people know. Now, Cruz at that point is caucusing. He's meeting at different places and trying to get votes. All right. Then someone else sends out the information. Cruz campaigner makes a phone call. And at this point, they get it wrong that he's suspending his campaign. As soon as Cruz finds out about this, there are tens of thousands of people involved in these campaigns and different ones in different functions. As soon as he finds out, he calls Ben Carson to apologize. But why didn't he call first? Because he didn't know about it first. I launched an organization some years ago in Charlotte called the Coalition of Conscience. And next thing, somebody well-meaning who was a supporter started sending out emails on behalf of the Coalition of Conscience and using our email heading, our letterhead and email. I said, what are you doing? Someone trying to help us. You're not the spokesperson. As soon as Cruz found out, he apologized. Now, you may not like him for other reasons. You may think he's dishonest about other things. Fine. That's your prerogative. I'm just talking about this. And yeah, there were Rubio campaigners that did the same thing and also sent out the notice. A major media has called on CNN and said, you made a mistake. Here is bad reporting. You need to apologize to Cruz. He didn't lie. I can't tell you how many people say, oh, I can't trust him because he lied in Iowa. He did not. He's being lied about. Now, here's the latest lie. Well, he had something to do with the picture sent out of Melania Trump. No, he had nothing to do with it. It was an anti-Trump super PAC, completely unrelated to Cruz. It was not a pro-Cruz super PAC. It was not anyone related to him. It was not anyone he knew. It was a small anti-Trump super PAC that now got massive publicity because of Trump's reaction. All right? And as much as Trump keeps saying, well, he knew about this, all the evidence says he did not. All of the factual evidence says he did not. When he heard about the ad, he said it was deplorable. He said it was inappropriate. He spoke against it. And then Donald Trump says, well, I'm going to have to spill the beans on Heidi Cruz. What kind of garbage is that? You're running to be president of the United States. I wouldn't let my kids or grandkids, they're little, I wouldn't let them do it. Then after that, When Ted Cruz makes it clear, keep your, stay away from attacking my wife. Donald Trump retweets this unflattering picture where Heidi Cruz is a lovely lady and a godly woman, from everything I know. Unflattering picture of her next to an airbrush picture of Trump's beautiful wife. Retweets that, and Cruz very strongly addresses the issue. Actually, just retweets after that and says, this is the chronology, and says, hey, your wife is lovely. Mine is the love of my life. Leave our wives out of this. And then reacts more indignantly. And then the ridiculous National Enquirer story comes out. Now, just listen to the way things are being reported. Let's go to number two, clip number two, Fox News, The Kelly File. Sandra Smith is questioning a Donald Trump surrogate, David Wall. Clip number two.
David, do I start with you first? Because did I read this right? That you said that Trump's a man's man and that's what his followers love about him in defense of his attack on Ted Cruz's wife.
Is there any doubt about that? I mean, he saw his wife attacked by the super PAC that was anti-Trump and assumed that Cruz was behind
it.
But the super PAC is not tied to Ted Cruz.
Let's be
right,
clear.
Right, right, right. But Cruz denies it. Cruz denied the Iowa scandal, too, until he was confronted and had
all
to
right,
admit
stop,
that his
stop,
operative.
All right, stop, 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 stop. Complete, total falsehood. And by the way, I'm not attacking Donald Trump here. I'm attacking the media here. Complete, total falsehood. Let's go to clip number six. This is Don Lemon, former Apprentice contestant Omarosa, who, and later in this interview, she said, I'm going to speak my truth no matter what. And Ted Cruz's kids are going to regret that he got into the presidential campaign. This is sick stuff. So listen to what Don Lemon on CNN has to deal with, clip number six.
This Twitter war between Donald Trump and Ted Cruz this week was over, it's over the top, really. What's your opinion of the retweet of the Heidi Cruz and Melania Trump pictures?
Well, I don't think we should start there. We should start with the fact that a super PAC that supports
No.
I want to know
Donald
what
your opinion
Trump's
is.
Wife.
I'm not going to let
and,
you do that.
And Don, let
I'm
me
not
going to
let
I'm
you do
answer
that.
That.
I'm going to answer that.
I'm going to answer that.
Amorosa,
let me tell you,
Amorosa,
I'm going to
stop.
His wife,
Amorosa.
He's going
okay,
to come
let's
back
stop.
For you.
Everybody, cut the mics. Everybody. We're not doing that. I want everyone on this panel to answer the question directly. Then I will let
but
you.
You can ask questions, but you can't answer them, Don.
Okay.
You can ask them, but
we'll,
I have to answer
okay,
them.
Every, okay, we'll be
I'm
right
not
back.
Be
we'll be right back.
I will.
We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
This is CNN. This is the nonsense Don Lemon is dealing with. All right. And yet, this is complete nonsense, whether it was Mike Huckabee, whether it was Geraldo Rivera, whether it is these Trump surrogates. It is complete nonsense. All they're putting out falsehoods, and I'm watching people on social media lapping it up and believing it. And then we'll let Donald Trump himself speak. He's speaking with ABC's John Carl for this week. This was yesterday, clip number seven. Donald Trump addressing this issue as well, the issue of retweeting a picture, etc. Clip number seven.
Well, it was a retweet sent to me, and it was a retweet. Now, look, what he did was far worse. I mean, he takes out a thing and sends it to Utah, to the voters of Utah, and it was a cover shoot, and it was, you know, by a big magazine. She was a very, very successful model, big model, and did lots of shoots and lots of cover shoots, and to send that like it was some kind of a bad picture was disgusting to me. I thought it was disgusting. And they put the, you know, they make me like the bad guy here. I'm just responding to what he does. I respond, I counterpunch, but I'm responding to what he does. But always the press wants to make me the...
Now I'm speaking about Donald Trump. Complete and utter rubbish. Number one, Ted Cruz did not send that out. No matter how much you say it, no matter how much you repeat lies, it does not make lies true. That's number one. If Ted Cruz was guilty of this, I would be all over Ted Cruz. If his surrogates were guilty of this, I would be all over the surrogates. And I assure you, if I've ever taken issue with anything in this campaign that was serious, I have written privately. I've written privately and raised a concern. God is my witness. But do you notice, though, that he's upset because what was a great picture of his wife posing nude was sent out as if it was a bad thing, and that's disgusting. Can you all say out loud with me together? Are you kidding me? My bottom line today, we need an awakening of truth in America.